It's 10 a.m. on March 29th, 2022, here at 61 South Main, Suite 303 for a regularly scheduled commission meeting. And since I was busy meeting new staff, Kent, can you lead us in the pledge today? Thank you.
Everyone, please stand. Pledge after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kent. All right, we'll open it up to a public comment. And anybody in the audience would like to come forward and give a public comment, they can do so now. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to our business and action items. First, we have our public hearing with the Clerk Auditor's Office. Curtis.
Thank you, Commissioners. We have really just two items that were approved in last month's budget meeting. The first is an increase in wages and benefits for a new position in Account 2 in the Treasurer's Department, and in Fund 25, Municipal Services, an increase of $35,000 to replace an older vehicle. And so total increase is $128,995.
Those in the audience, not in the audience, but out there in Facebook world, that older vehicle was a 1995 and it had 134,000 miles on it. So we did get some use out of that.
Okay, thank you. I move we open the public hearing.
Second, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
At this time, I'd like to invite anybody from the public to come forward and speak to these items. Seeing none.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I move that we take action. Oh, it'll be coming up.
Yeah, so now we'll move on to the Clerk Auditor number one action of this.
Very good. Yeah, so number one, I move approval of the additional 2022 budget appropriation requests and the adjustments to revenues. The terms are payable in the amount of $128,995 beginning March 29th, 2022 to December 31st, 2022.
And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, now moving down to our business and action items. Looks like we have a need to table an item, Commissioner.
Yes, correct. We do need to table the second item on the agenda. So it's an approval of the certification by the state or local official of public housing authority. And we'll just table that for now. I move that.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving down to community and economic development, Kent, Director Ken Anderson. And Kent, why don't you bring your staff up and introduce the new people? That's why we're here.
Thank you, Commission. I appreciate it. I always like to bring our new staff to come and see our legislative process in action. What do you want me to introduce them, or would you like to hear from them?
Let's hear from them. Let's
do
this.
Lindsay, why don't you go first?
I'm Lindsay Maglish. I am doing the Economic Development Specialist position.
In your previous, where do you come from, background?
Previously, I was with the Job Corps program, and before that, I was with Goldman Sachs.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome to the county. Yep.
I'm Bartley Matthews, and I've been hired as the transportation planner.
Good. And where you mind your background and where you come from, and are you neighbors with anybody up here? And
I am neighbors with anybody up here. Yes, our auditor, clerk auditor, Curtis Culk, lives across the street from me in West Layton. Previous to this, I had my own business for a little while doing some steel framing, and prior to that, I worked in the governor's offices of economic development and energy development.
Good.
Fantastic. Great.
Let us know if you want to, you know, if you ever throw any water balloons over Curtis's way, you know, launch them over.
Commissioner, well, I need to remind you it's a drought.
and the balloons are not good for the birds.
All right. Gee, no fun here. Oh.
We're excited to have Lindsay and Bartley on board, you know, as it comes to the hiring process nowadays. I mean, we've got our human resources. This is challenging at best. The economic development, we actually went out and flew it again. We're excited about Lindsay, and Bartley certainly rose to the top. So I think even in the a tough market, you can find really good employees. So we're really excited. Thanks, you guys. We've got, for the community and economic development, we've got one, two, three, six items, but we're requesting to table item number seven, which is an approval of the agreement with the Bountiful Davis Arts Center. I'll start with item number three. It's an approval with contract with Metasports for soccer tryouts hosted at the Legacy Event Center. Terms receivable in the amount of $2,832.50 beginning 5/23/2022 to 6/2/2022. Number four is approval of a contract with Metasports for the spring soccer season with Utah U Soccer hosted at the Legacy Event Center. Terms receivable in the amount of $7,967.05 beginning 3/28/2022 to 5/26/2022. Item number five is an approval of agreement with the JEPS Foundation for a donation to the 2022 Great Salt Lake Bird Festival. Terms receivable in the amount of $1,000 beginning 5/12/2022 to 5/15/2022. Item number six is an approval with a contract with Wasatch Thunder Youth Athletics for the annual Wasatch Soccer Tournament. Terms receivable in the amount of $4,017 beginning 8/15/2022 to 8/20/2022. Item number seven, as I'd mentioned, is a request to table. Item number eight, approval of a summary list for the Legacy Event Center of eight low-dollar rental agreements. Terms receivable in the amount of $2,315.60 beginning 2/5/2022 to 3/21/2022.
Very good. Thanks, Kent. I move approval of 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8, and move that we table number 7.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Kent. And again, thank you guys for coming and working for Davis County. I hope you have an enjoyable time working with us and getting to know all the other staff here.
Great place.
And now we move on to Health Director Brian Hatch.
Morning. We got three items here today, I guess 9, 10, and 11. The first one is an approval. First, I guess, Commissioner, with number 9, we need to rescind a previous contract. This is a replacement of that contract. Okay. So we need to rescind contract 2022-081 and replace it with this new contract with Drug Safe Utah on behalf of Davis County Hispanic Prevention Coalition in the amount of $38,250 beginning 3/29 and running through 7/15 of 2022.
Good.
The next one is approval of our federal fiscal year 2022 certifications and assurance with the Utah for the Utah Department of Transportation, Federal Transit Administration, beginning 10/1 of 2021. And the last one is a summary list of MOUs with the Davis County Senior Services Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, or RSVP. There's 4 on that summary list.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. I may just go ahead and mention those, and then we'll go back and approve the Memorandum of Understanding with Bountiful Davis Arts Center. Terms begin January 31st of 2022 to January 31st of 2025. With the Heritage Museum of Layton, terms beginning January 1st of 2022 to January 1st of 2025. Parkside Elementary, terms beginning February 1st of 2022 to February 1st of 2025. And Spectrum Academy is the last one. Terms beginning October 18th, 2021 to October 17th, 2024. And with that, I move approval of agenda items 9 through 11 as presented.
And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Human Resource Director Chris Bone.
Thank you, Commission. Today you have before you item number 12, approval of the revised and updated version of Davis County Policies and Procedures number 140, leave benefits. The changes that we're proposing there for approval, number one, to include the newly adopted state holiday, Juneteenth, National Freedom Day, in policy section 4.0, holidays. Juneteenth, which is short for June 19th, is also referred to as Juneteenth National Freedom Day, commemorates the day in June of 1865, over 2 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, when all enslaved people in the United States were declared legally free. On June 17th, 2021, it officially became a federal holiday, and then during the 2022 legislative session here in Utah, the legislature voted to add Juneteenth National Freedom Day through House Bill 238 as a state holiday. The bill was signed by Utah Governor Spencer Cox on March 24, 2022. So we're proposing that addition. The other items we'd like to include under Section 7.0, bereavement leave, also under the same policy 140. The first thing is the state, through Senate Bill 63, also signed by the governor on March 22, 2022, instructs political subdivisions of the state to incorporate stillbirth and miscarriage into their respective bereavement leave policies. So this change would be to comport with that change. In addition, we're proposing that we include domestic partner now under bereavement leave to modernize that policy.
So. Good. Thank you for that, Chris. Those are some important things. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving on to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Arnold Butcher.
Morning, Commissioners. So before you, we have five different things. First one is going to be for number 13 is an amendment to the contract with Summit Food Services. They provide the food services within the jail, and that is an adjustment to the sliding scale for inmate and staff meals based on the consumer price index.
So is it because price is going up and everything else, they need to have a little bump or what?
Yeah, it's within their contract that if there is an increase in the CPI and everything, they can request an increase.
I'm assuming there's an increase?
Well, I've heard inflation. There was. I don't know for sure, but and they actually started this process last year.
Okay.
We were very timely in our response, but reminded them properly they have to do that through an amendment to the contract, and they were a little slow in their response getting back to us. So, but appreciate Mike's work and so, yes, unfortunately, we will be an increase. And I didn't see a clause in the contract that allowed us to decrease if CPI goes down.
Imagine that.
We need right? that clause at the federal level.
Right. Number 14 is a training reimbursement agreement with Jacob Whitney Willis for basic corrections officer and special functions officer certification payable in the amount of $5,659.20 to begin on the date of graduation and swearing in. And to go 2 years from that date. Items number 15 and 16 are two separate individuals, but it's this pretty much the exact same agreement. And this is a release of liability, waiver of rights, and participation agreement in the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring, or SCRAM, program that is part of our 24/7 program. Both of these, the terms are receivable, and they vary on the amounts based on the used test and the monitoring fees. And they begin upon today's signing. And then item number 17 is a memorandum of agreement, MOA, with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And that's for reimbursement of overtime salary costs and anything else associated with ATF task force terms payable in various amounts beginning on today's date and going through 9/30 of 2026.
Very good. Thank you. I move approval of items 13 through 17 as presented.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have some consent items. I move approval of work session minutes. Very well done by our staff. For February 17th of 2022, February 22nd of 2022, the 8 a.m. session, February 22nd, 2022, the 11 a.m. session, and March 8th of 2022.
And I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you. I move we recess to our Board of Equalization duties.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Curtis.
Thank you, Commissioners. You have for your consideration under auditor adjustments a report with a single property recommending an approval on the appeals for the year 2021. Under corrections, you have four veteran exemption tax abatements and one correction for an exempt entity purchased a property in 2021. And that completes your property tax register for March 28th, 2022.
Very good. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. And I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Any comments from Curtis or Mike?
No comment. Thank you.
Nothing today.
Okay. Commissioner Kamalu?
Yes. I thought I would. You want to talk about water and I'll talk about
yep.
government? Okay. We just had a great meeting this morning with the head of Weber Basin Conservancy and discussion of our project, and Randy will comment on that. And I'm just going to comment that we have a magical paper in the back of the room that has been going out of our office for over three years, because people who are seeking to understand county's form of government, this paper lays it out, and it's super helpful. So these are stacked up on the counter in the commission office, but we have a three-member commission. It's the most common form of government for counties in the state of Utah. And so three commissioners have executive responsibilities, which means we have to administer the law. We've sworn an oath to administer the law. And we also have legislative duties, and that's a lot of what you see in this meeting. We actually recess out of Board of Equalization, so you can see that we go in and out publicly of the various roles. And that's because that's administrative, Curtis? Board of Equalization?
Board of Equalization, yes.
Yes. So that's the reason that we recess out and we reconvene, because we have a different hat on for that section of our agenda, which is very interesting. There is law, Utah law, called the Open and Public Meetings Act, which requires that everything that we do that is particularly legislative and not administrative must be in an open and public meeting. And so when we have work sessions and when we have these public commission meetings, you see that work in action. And we get a lot of questions about that. Is there a separation? There is indeed separation of those duties, which you can see. And then the other separation is something pretty terrific. Under this particular elected clerk auditor, he instituted the clerk commission division. And so what that means is, in the office of the clerk, there are staff. You see some of them right here. They are the ones who prepare the agenda, and they do the minutes. And that is further separation, that they are the clerk for the legislative body, which is also pretty cool. So that paper also outlines the various responsibilities of three commissioners, the work that we do. It's nice to know which commissioner works most closely with an organization to reach out to that particular commissioner. And then where we are elected office liaisons, there are the various other elected officials, more separation of duties, who also receive their responsibilities according to state statute. And we cannot control them in any way. And if there were to be a problem with fraud, waste, or abuse, then we do have power as a three-member commission to investigate. So anyway, there have been a lot of questions about this in an election season, and people bring up questions about form of government. And so this is a very helpful piece of paper, and in my opinion, the very best handout I've ever given folks.
Very good. So just kind of bring an update. Our work session today, we had a discussion about our ongoing construction we've got going next door to our courthouse, as we have landscaping that will be going in, and we are in a dire year of drought again. And so kind of the work session, we brought in Scott Paxman, kind of help us out. He's over Weber Basin. Just kind of get an understanding of how we're going to move forward with our landscaping needs and everything else. This is a changing time for all of us. We've always been used to water, and we're in a historic 600-year type where it hasn't had the type of drought. And we would have had this type of drought almost 600 years ago, is what they say, off the tree rings. And so we're in unprecedented times. Last week, when I wasn't here at the commission meeting, I was down attending the Utah Water Users Association, where all the big water associations get together in St. George, kind of have that discussion of how we move forward. And we're just going to have to be a lot of conservation. It's going to be a lot of changing of our practices, our landscaping, and our cities and ordinances and everything else like that. It is meters, but also smart waterers, because a lot of people don't go out and turn off their waterers when it's raining, because it's not on the smart waterers. And they had a lot of statistics on having homes on meters and smart waterers, how much conservation is done with those. And so that's kind of a threefold approach, plus also changing our landscaping. Yes, I'm one of those that moved to the west side, so we're going to have a big yard and a big pasture. And now I'm like, oh, it's going to be a dry yard and dry pasture. Great. New landscaping to go in on that. So anyhow, it's a fold approach on how we're going to be able to do this. But other states that are drier than us have been able to figure it out. We can figure it out too. A lot of the allocations of water we're working on too, there's going to have to be some renegotiations because of the time when our Weber River channel, where we get our water for this area, a lot of that water gets funneled over to Utah County and Salt Lake County because that's where the population was back in the 1920s. And so we were able to make an agreement, a one-year agreement with Uinta Basin, that they could bring water from the Uinta Basin in to satisfy the Utah County people. And this year that we could take all the water in the Weber River and run it down to our reservoirs. And that's just a one-time thing, but there's got to be some re-looking at all the systems and how water is allocated through the state. As if you go up to that Midway area, there is a big diversion, and that ships that water over to Utah County. And so last year when we had, you know, our reservoirs aren't really at capacity, really, you know, we're down 40 to 50%, and Utah County side of reservoirs are up, you know, 80 to 90% because of their allocations that they have. And so, and they don't have the water restrictions like we're going into right now because they have the storage where we don't. And so there's a lot of discussions that are going to be had or going to have to be had on the federal level, on the state level, on how we can get our allocations or get water back into our basin that is going to other basins.
And the watershed that impacts us is impacting the Great Salt Lake.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. And so I won't go into the Great Salt Lake as I'm on the Great Salt Lake Advisory Board on how we're going about hopefully getting more water into the Great Salt Lake. Again, it's all going to have to be conservation on all of our parts. So it's not looking good. We haven't had any snow or rain to really speak of. And so our projections are, you know, what Weber Basin had, what they saved last year was just for drinking water purposes only for this year. And so hopefully that with this little bit of runoff that we have, that we might be able to get some. But like Weber Basin mentioned, we're starting off with a 60% reduction, which means in the Weber Basin areas, it's one water in a week for water for your lawns. And that's going to be hard for everybody. Some of these other water districts like Benchland and some of these other ones, because they have early spring runoff, they're starting on time. Weber Basin is going to start May 15th. Other people are going to start April 15th because they're going to use their runoff water. And so Benchland and some of these other are going to start immediately when the April 15th. But the water restrictions will be in place this year. So any other than that, it was depressing down there in St. George. It wasn't really fun. I mean, it was, hey, we get to be in St. George, and we come out of our meetings with a, like, man, where's the counselor for us all? So anyhow, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.